We began the research with interviews and with Beck. And at that point, there were still people living, you know, who had been there. One of the characters in the play, Mr. Dantzler, was created from interviews that I did with Mr. Dantzler. And he was, at that point, in 1919, he was 21.
Wow.
So he was a young man. And he recounted what he was doing when he first heard the news, what he did during the riot. He had an aunt, and, you know, he went to see about her and was accosted in the street. And there were things that were just only possible to know through that first-person narrative. And then, of course, the New Sentinel had article after article after article. Of course, that was from a particular point of view. Point of views were often clashing, but we wanted to use the newspaper articles so that people would know what was being said and the difference between what was being said and what was being experienced in the Black community during that time, during those days. So it was important to us to kind of look at Knoxville historically. It was important for us to look at this particular moment in time in 1919. We were acutely aware of riots all over the country post-war, but we really did not know what had happened here in Knoxville. So when I began to talk to people, particularly in the African-American community, we were hearing a very different story. Even the idea of it being a riot was something that was questionable. It was more of a mob action than a riot. We found that, particularly in the Black business district, which was you know, central and the bottom and those places that are now Old City, mm-hmm. That the community was defending itself against a mob that was coming down Gay Street. And down the hill, and then the militia was called. So the idea that it was a riot, quote-unquote, was something that, you know, you have to question. What does it mean when one says riot?
That is a sophisticated distinction, I think. What is the difference between a riot and a mob action?
Mm. The way that we think of and have seen rioting, quote-unquote rioting, since the 60s, it is the people who are protesting or engaged in some kind of action who are, I don't know, around the world with student, quote-unquote, riots where people are organized and they are in some form of protest.
I guess Hong Kong would be a
really Hong Kong is what I was
modern example.
Yeah, modern example. But that's not what happened. People, as we understand it, heard about the murder, heard about the idea that it was an African-American man and who had a particular reputation in the community. Mm-hmm. The idea that the African-American community organized and you know, even peacefully was not what happened. What happened was they organized to defend themselves, which I think is not a riot. It's self-defense against a mob action.
Right.
When they talk about how the white mob this is the way they described it. The white mob stormed the jail. The white mob came down Gay Street and looted guns and pistols out of stores on Gay Street. I mean, those descriptions are not by us. Those descriptions are in the Knoxville News Sentinel. So we wanted to make sure that we presented the headlines as they appeared, and they're repeated in the show. We also looked at the court records of the trial, and some of the dialogue in the show is from the court records. So we have that information. We have those kind of juxtaposed to what we had from the personal narratives. So I think that's really the structure of the piece.
Can you tell us, in Red Summer, does it tell the entire story of the whole event itself, the whole weekend, from the moment that this unknown person because it was never proved, of course, that Mays committed the act
mm-hmm.
that started the whole thing. How was the play set up?
Well, the interesting thing about this version of Red Summer is that under Leilani Chan's direction, the script itself has been reordered. The story is told in sequence. I think in the original text, we told it as the newspaper told it, described it. And some of the articles were the day after, so it's not quite in order. And I think when Leilani looked at the script, she tried to place the events in the order that they happened rather than the order they were reported. They're ordered now in the sequence of events as they happened from the 30th, 31st, and forward from there.
Telling a story like this, which is, there's a lot of experiential history that's lost.
Mm-hmm.
There are similar events that occurred around the country mm-hmm. at around the same time
mm-hmm.
that you can pull from, I guess?
Some. And Leilani's particular take on the production is interweaving some more contemporary footage. There is a visual element to the piece. And I think what we're trying to do is to make those connections between things that have happened in the 100 years since 1919. What is the same and what is different, and what the parallels and the juxtapositions are. So I think we have built a piece that has a little bit more contemporary edge to it. There is, in this production, dancing and some original songs. So it is still a play with music, but it's been expanded. And I think people will be quite interested in what it looks like now.
What has changed and what is still the same?
We certainly haven't come as far as we need to in terms of race relations. I mean, this is 100 years after this incident. And, you know, we're still seeing racially motivated attacks. I would say that the issues around race, particularly with this administration, have not been getting better. I think the nation is more polarized. I think our hope is that in remounting Red Summer and looking at the 100 years since, that will open up some dialogue. I think people really do forget history. It is, you know, it is a time to examine 100 years later. We have, you know, two anniversaries. This happened 100 years ago, and Carpetbag is 50 years old. So it just seems it's the right time to do this show.
Yeah. What do you think, mm-hmm. particularly Knoxvillians, will take away from this that maybe they didn't see 20 years ago?
Well, I think that we have an audience of active participants. And when I say that, I mean people who vote, people who take a stand when they see injustice. And I think that's our natural audience. What I think we hope to reach are those people who are unaware of this incident, but also unaware of the issues that remain around economics, the issues that remain around education. I think that if we can use this as a foundation for talking about what we need to do to really transform our community and to make it an equitable community, then I think we've had a successful run. And I think that I'm hoping that people will come out of curiosity. Again, this happened 100 years ago, and when we started working on it, there were some people who thought we shouldn't.
Really?
There was a little pushback. Mm-hmm. And I believe, from what I've heard, there's a little pushback now. We hope that as people hear the tale, told definitely from our point of view, but again, in its historical context, that they will perhaps understand a little better what people experience every day.